My dearly beloved in Christ, we celebrate a feast of Our Lady today. It is primarily observed in Spain. The title is Our Lady of the Pillar. This is their beautiful shrine in Zaragoza, Spain, and a story behind that, which I won't have the time to go into. But it is significant that it was on this feast that Christopher Columbus, who was sailing for Spain, arrived in the New World and set foot on land in our hemisphere on this day in 1492. Now, I mentioned that, you might think, well, why mention Christopher Columbus today? Of course, tomorrow is the observance of Columbus Day. But I do so for a reason that will tie in, as you will see, with the Novus Ordo, the Vatican II, and its teachings. Christopher Columbus has been very much abused, I should say, the memory of Columbus in our time. There have been social unrests over the last 10 or so years, going under various names, whether it's Occupy Wall Street, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, a different name each time, same group, same message, and that is trying to cause civil unrest, to tear apart the fabric of our society, and ultimately to bring about revolution. But why, several years ago, did they topple the statues of Christopher Columbus, together with other American heroes and so forth? Well, the reason is they say, these individuals, they say, well, he brought slavery to this country, or he disrupted the beautiful, idyllic life of the Native Americans. The Europeans came, they subjected them, they abused them, they took their resources, and so on and so forth. Now, granted, given human nature, tragically, there was slavery, and there was, to some degree, abuse of natives, but what was the purpose of Columbus in even sailing west beyond the Azores and the Canary Islands, something that Europeans thought was could not be done and that he would never return? Columbus was a great man. He was a Catholic, a devout Catholic, not a saint. But if you read his letters, he constantly referred to this theme of wanting to bring the gospel to nations that had never heard it. He frequently in his letters mentions his desire that all men would enter the Roman Catholic Church to bring about their salvation. And those who defame him by saying that look at what Europe brought to this country, disease, that's a fact. A lot of the natives did not have a resistance to certain diseases that came as a result. But let's face it, whether Columbus came or someone else, sooner or later, as seafaring progressed and technology advanced, Europeans would have come to this hemisphere sooner or later. Columbus was the first who arrived at least the Caribbean area. And again, as I say, was a great man. He had a vision, and his goal, ultimately, was to bring the gospel. And as I was saying, these natives were not living an idyllic life. They were ignorant of the true God. They were living in paganism, idolatry, and even human sacrifice. So it was not the wonderful, peaceful life that one might be told. We have honored Columbus in this country for centuries. There are many cities throughout the country that are named for Columbus. We also have the District of Columbia, the Columbia River, a country in South America named for Columbus. So he's always been honored because of what he did and what he accomplished. And again, those who defame him ignore and misrepresent his purpose. Sailing, yes, for Spain, for the crown, but also to spread the true faith. Every voyage he had a priest or several priests with him. He came to the New World four times. Now, this ties in with the theme of the conference, which is a study of our Holy Catholic faith and the importance of the faith, the church founded by Jesus Christ, and understanding the difference between the modern church, which still retains the name Catholic but is anything but, and the true Roman Catholic Church. And if you were to ask me, say, Father, I don't want to get into deep theology, just summarize Vatican II and the difference between the Vatican II Church, the Conciliar Church, the Novus Ordo Church, and the true church, just summarize it simply. I would say two things. First, the modern church and Vatican II was the crowning triumph of modernism. Modernism, which was condemned by Pope St. Pius X, who said it is the synthesis of all heresies. Okay, but what does modernism teach? At its heart, the central theme and teaching of modernism is what is called vital immanence. And what that means, very simply put, is that modernists believe that every human being comes into this world with a religious sentiment. And God is the author of that religious sentiment. But it expresses itself in different ways, according to the culture and the country and the people and so forth. So ultimately what this means is that modernists believe that every religion is good. Even the so-called Pope Francis said that all religions lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. And this is why modernists can, like John Paul II did, have a meeting of all these religions in Assisi in 1986 to pray for peace, because they believe that Hindus, Buddhists, Islam, whatever the religion is, it's all good. Ultimately, to a modernist, God is behind every church, every religion. And so this is the idea of ecumenism. So that's one aspect to differentiate between the true church and the modern church. The other is that our faith is something supernatural. We understand that God made us to get to heaven, and that we must die to self, overcome temptation, live a life of grace. We're not made to live here forever. We're made to get to heaven. But in the modern church, we don't have this supernatural idea. It is a religion of naturalism. And I mentioned this at the question and answer session the other day, how Leo the 14th came out just recently and said the biggest moral issue in the world today is climate change. Now, what is morality? What do we mean by a moral issue? Morality means right and wrong. What is good and what is evil? What is sin and what is virtue? Right and wrong. So you can see this as naturalism, ignoring abortion, unnatural vice, every other evil that is so prevalent today, and saying, well, we have to work on making sure that our planet is more habitable, more, you know, less pollution, and on and on. So this really, in a nutshell, is the difference. In the modern church, they believe, they might not say it, they believe that everyone goes to heaven. Doesn't matter what your religion is, so let's just try to get along with everybody and have kind of this sort of earthly paradise. That's naturalism. But we know that God created us for eternity. The amount of time we spend in this world in comparison to the amount of time we will spend in eternity, there's no comparison. It's like a grain of sand on the seashore. And we must use the time we have to earn a place in heaven. What did our Lord say? He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his immortal soul? So the true church is about the salvation of souls. And we talked about, the bishop talked about the mark of apostolicity. The true church is apostolic. And we see that in the bishops, and as successors of the apostles, and the perpetuation of the Mass, the sacraments, and the faith, But the true church also has the apostolic spirit, which means wanting to save souls. If you read about the missionaries who left their homes in Europe, they went to America, like one of the priests was talking about the North American martyrs, or they went to the Far East, they went to Africa, wherever. Catholic missionaries who at great personal sacrifice left their homes, their families, their country, their native culture, went to a distant country knowing they would most likely never ever get back to see their family, get back to their home, and that very likely, very possibly, they would be put to death, put to death painfully. And they did it anyway. Why? Because they understood the value of an immortal soul. And speaking of missionaries, there's another area where you can see the complete change that Vatican II brought about. Because now missionaries, those that are left, are social workers. And they have what they call enculturation, which means incorporating the native cultures, including pagan practices, into the Mass, into their Novus Ordo. So they've totally lost the idea of saving souls, and now it's just social work. So we know why we're here. We know what God made us for, and we honor those martyrs and great missionaries that the Catholic Church has had down through the centuries. We should strive to emulate that spirit, that missionary spirit, at least praying, as Our Lady of Fatima asked, every day for the conversion of sinners, to save souls from hell. And first and foremost, to work out our own salvation, because that is why God created us, and that is why Jesus Christ came into the world to found a church, to lead souls to heaven, not to teach them to work on the climate. Let us give thanks to God for our faith and pray that we always persevere in the church that Christ founded with the faith that church teaches. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.